Hello and welcome to the Stop the Sales Drop podcast. I'm your host, Eric Gruber, CEO of Personal ABM. Today, my guest in a recent PMA article on product marketing predictions, he mentioned that the top product marketers this year will create a strong connection with sales and measure their success in a tangible way. That's what we're going to be talking about, because in many cases, we find that marketing is focused on getting accounts into pipeline. They aren't thinking about how they can influence each part of the buyer's journey and how they can support sales. My guest is the VP of Product Marketing at Gong. My guest is Julian Savage. Julian, thank you for joining me today.
Of course. Thanks, Eric. And hi, everybody.
Now, as I mentioned in the intro, we talked about how you believe that top product marketers will need to create a strong connection with sales.
Yeah.
What is going on with product marketing now? Where are the gaps? How do we need to evolve the function? And how do we need to have a stronger connection with sales?
Yeah, it's a topic I'm very bullish and passionate about. I believe connecting marketing and all of marketing, but in particular product marketing to revenue. I think in typical PMM fashion, I would start with kind of what the pain is, if that's cool, and then try to think about solutions we can bring and change we can think about. Yep. So in terms of like the pain, right, the disconnect between PMM or even marketing in sales, what I've seen is that there's a spectrum of situations, and there's like kind of pretty bad situations at each side of the spectrum. So on one side, you would have companies where PMM, product marketing, believes about, you know, being very omnipotent. Like PMM is in the driver's seat, but they're sitting in the ivory tower. Like they build beautiful decks, beautiful demos. Those get used in conferences and trade shows, but they never really fall into the hands of the AEs or the ACs. So the actual adoption of those beautiful assets by the field, by the sales, is limited, right? So in that case, PMM kind of believes they're in the driver's seat when the actual impact on the revenue is minimal. So that's one side of the spectrum. I also have seen the other side of the spectrum where PMM, like, pardon my French, but it is just kind of the slide monkey of sales. You know, like we end up not driving the strategy. We react to the needs of sales in a very one-off fashion. We build decks, we do things that never will bring the scale, and we're not being strategic, we're being reactive, when PMM is all about bringing that scale, to be honest. So those are the two sides of the spectrum, right? PMM being so disconnected and driving some strategy, but not having any impact on revenue on one side, and on the other side, PMM just being the slide monkey. And I think for me and for us, it's all about striking the balance to find that happy medium. That's at least what I've always believed in. And that's why, frankly, I'm still so passionate about the function, even after doing 10 years of PMM and a few years in consulting and in solution engineering myself. The balance is, as a marketer, you listen to sales, you're well-connected, you know their pains, you know their needs, and you actually can, you know, listen to some of their calls if you have the tech in place. You support some of their ongoing deals. In a nutshell, you're plugged in. But then you use that knowledge and that familiarity and that trust to proactively come up with a plan, with a strategy that sales buy in early on. And that essentially puts you in the driver's seat. You have the street credibility with them, and yet you're driving big strategic things like the corporate narrative and the product messaging and the strategy to enable the field at scale. So I believe every PMM out there should always try to, you know, have the best balance between those two extremes on the spectrum that I just mentioned.
Yep, definitely. And because PMM is, I see it as the connector. You're connecting between sales, marketing, product management, account management. It's all about capturing the value and communicating it. And it's really, as being the connector, is why I always say that ABM should be driven and owned more by product marketing than demand gen, because it is something that it's, to me, ABM is a business strategy. It's about getting accounts to revenue and existing accounts to greater revenue. And that, and to, for that, you need sales and marketing working together. It's not just about what many companies are using it for, getting accounts into the pipeline and then that's it. That's marketing. That's a lot of times marketing, but that's where product marketing I see comes in. It's focused on that whole complete journey. And when you focus on the journey, you need that collaboration. You need to have not a responsiveness that you were just talking about. You need to have that strategic direction. This is the value that that account is missing or not thinking about. This is what they we need to reframe them on. Here's where they need to, here's their objective. Here's how the product can meet their needs. So it's all about getting that account to revenue, getting that account aligned with the company. And that to me is product marketing's role there. It's because everyone's together. It's not just I'm getting them in the pipeline.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think the success criteria should translate that as well, right? Like in like good old school fashion of marketing, demand gen owns pipe, and then PMM kind of owns things like product adoption and sometimes revenue, but it's very binary. And I kind of don't like that. I think as marketers and as product marketers, like there's an arsenal of metrics that you should be owning, from very top of the funnel awareness things. And we all know how difficult those are to measure, to be honest, sometimes, but we have to give it a shot, all the way down to, of course, pipe, but also ASP, deal size, net new business coming from NPIs, new product introductions. And then cross sell, upsell, renewals. So it's it really, when done well, when you strike that balance I mentioned earlier, I do think that PMM has the potential to impact pretty much every big KPI in the business throughout the stages of the funnel and even post sales.
Yep. And now, if we're going to have that connection, more to me, and working together, we need to provide content that supports sales, supports account management, and the conversations that the teams need to have. Very specific conversations that they need to have with these accounts.
Yeah.
To me, a lot of times marketing content often lacks intention. It's just pushed out. It's a lot of times thought leadership.
Yeah.
It doesn't teach for differentiation. It's not tailored for relevance. And to me, a lot of times prospects leave the journey, not because they don't believe your claims, not that because they don't believe in your product. It's the fact they don't see themselves in the story that sales and marketing is telling.
Yeah.
So it's not making an emotional connection. It's not reframing thoughts and ideas. Before you could buy a product or a solution, in many times you need to sell change. Before you even sell the product, before you sell the service or solution, we need to shape the buyer's vision and strategy. So in most cases, content is designed for thought leadership, which is great for awareness, but not for sales. How do we need to be shifting content to support selling conversations and also retention and expansion conversations? Because that's another opportunity that is being missed by many product marketing and marketing teams.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack here. It's a big kind of hairy question, and I love it. I will start by saying a few things. I think all of the content should support sales always. Like what you said is, Eric, is very characteristic, right? Like, oh, top of the funnel does not really support sales. And that's a big miss. Every piece of content that you put out there, no matter where you are in the journey, in the funnel, should support sales. Even TL, thought leadership or awareness type of content. It's just constant repetition of the same messaging, right? And so if you have, as you said, kind of old school, sometimes maybe even like boring thought leadership type of content, well, you're just not going to get people, you know, react well to the next touch point. So I think my first kind of thought is all of content should always, always support sales, no matter where you are in the funnel. You're basically always trying to hit with the same value props, whether we're talking about just somebody reading the press to an actual lead, to a sales qualified opportunity, to a given account or install base. All of them need to kind of rally against and behind that content. The second thing I will say is more about like sales, I guess. I think it's crucial to embrace the style of sales. When you do sales, when sales is your persona and you do content, that means that, you know, you would have to have a lot of things in mind. The way people in sales consume content is very specific. They like short form. They don't want to be bored with 25 page long ebook and documents and white papers and stuff like that. So bite-sized content, nothing stuffy, something more like personal, pragmatic. I think actionable is really big for the sales audience. They kind of want to see and know, okay, what are the three things I'm going to be taking away from that piece of content that I can apply to my job like today or tomorrow? And in terms of style, I would also say, ideally, you would author your content by someone coming from sales or someone with a sales background, you know, like sales talking to sales kind of thing. So that's kind of my second thought. I think all of content should always support sales, no matter where you are. And then you know your audience, but like embrace the style of sales to have content that works with that audience.
Yep. But I always mention that content should start off with the signed conversations that sales wants to have.
Yeah.
Then you could take it and scale it for similar accounts and you could put it into campaigns, but it should start. If I have an account that is stuck and, you know, I can't get them over, but I know that we need to shift their thinking. Well, then if we have a piece of article that or a video, case, whatever it is, whatever that content is, was able to get that prospect over the hump. We now have a proof of concept. So now you're not just pushing out any content. You had content that was created with intention, with the intention of moving an account over. You had that result. Now you could apply it and scale it. But that's where, to me, it always should start off is with the conversations that sales and account teams want to have. Where they have accounts stuck.
Yeah.
Where are the problems? Where are the accounts not moving from stage one to another stage? Where are the accounts that are disengaged from campaigns? What do we need to get them over? That's where I think it should always start with. And then you could apply it to the campaigns. But many times marketing just, it's all about that thought leadership. It's that top of funnel and it's not supporting the sales because it doesn't have commercial insights.
Yeah, I agree. And I think there's also a big listening component that we sometimes oversee, right? Like I'm a big fan of doing win-loss analysis every quarter or twice a year where we see what accounts we lost or we won and why. And it's kind of heavy qualitative research, but that gives you so much insights into the types of, you know, the types of content, the types of things you should be doing moving forward. Like a good example here at Gong is we did some win-loss analysis earlier in the year, and that's how we discovered that in our kind of content journey, pre-sales, we needed to emphasize the post-sales journey. You know, it's like, okay, you're about to buy our solution now. Well, you should know what's coming ahead and what the kind of the 30, 60, 90 day or 1 year post-sales journey will look like. That was a really big insight for us. We were maybe too focused on product capabilities and things like that. And because of that insight and because of our ability to like listen to what worked and what didn't, we could kind of tweak some of that content strategy. So that's just one example. Win-loss is one example. I also love doing like sales survey every quarter or every other quarter to kind of know if the content is hitting what they need. I like mapping content with the sales process. You can even do that by segment. You know, like every company has what 1 to 5 or 8 steps in their sales process. So what are the top assets, the top decks, the leave behinds that you use at each step? And that, you know, then you can identify the gaps and see what works, what doesn't, what's missing, what's, you know, redundant. So really big on as an approach on kind of listening to sales and listening to customers to kind of help shape the content strategy moving forward.
Yep. No, I definitely like aligning with the sales process. For example, we at Personal ABM like to align with challenger sales. And that is all about teaching for differentiation. So instead of making claims, the stories show how you're different. So the prospects come to their own conclusions. It is about that tailoring. It is about building context. It's about making the reframe where I'm challenging the prospect's thoughts and ideas, making an emotional case, making a business case, showing them a new solution. And then I start to talk about ourselves. But if we look at most content or marketing messaging, it misses the part about reframes and changing. It's basically a lot of times it's reacting to predefined needs. We just talked about that reacting a lot of times. And that's why, to me, marketing is doing a lot of reacting, responding to predefined needs. So it's about finding the opportunity versus creating a client. And that, to me, I think is stronger is when we focus on creating a customer, which means I need that sales and marketing alignment where I'm now not just responding like everyone else to whatever needs a prospect may have or say they have, but I'm actually creating that vision. That's where I say the bigger deals are, because if you're responding, so is everyone else. Now it's just about who's going to give the most capabilities for the lowest price. But when you create the buying vision, you become a party of one because you create it. You're helping them shape that strategy. Yeah. And that, I think, is where we need more of.
Completely agree. Yeah, couldn't agree more. There's another thing that you said at the very beginning, Eric, that I liked, which is like the, you know, showing the value, kind of showing the customers and all of that. I think middle of the funnel content and asset is the unsung hero of marketing. I really believe that. I think way too often we remain at the top of the funnel stage and then we jump right into like product stuff, like product data sheets and, you know, tech details and whatnot. And we kind of miss that middle of the funnel step where, you know, now that you've created the consideration, the awareness, the person's not ready to buy yet, but like you still need to hit them really hard with value-based messaging, with value-based content, with customer stories and testimonials and things like that. I actually love the fact here that at Gong, my team, I don't actually oversee product marketing only. I also have customer marketing on my team. And I think it helps driving a lot of alignment, and it really does help with that, you know, MoFu, middle of the funnel content and strategy that I think is sometimes missing in the CMO or in the PPM, in the PMM's head. So I'm big with MoFu content.
Yep. Just as a lot of times side note. Definitely is missing. If I review and I review a lot of new accounts when they come in, the first thing I'm looking at is the content. And I'm like, where you need to create that journey more. You have the top and then I have the very bottom. But yeah, they miss the middle. They miss the content for the accounts that do get stuck. That aren't, and many times they get stuck because the champion is not winning the internal conversations that sales is part of. They're not able to create the buying consensus. And that to me is where sales and marketing need to work the hardest together on, is those internal conversations. Making sure that they have the right content that focuses on account-specific gaps that sales should be learning about early on in the conversation, not pain points, but what is the business problem? Yep. Where are those account-specific gaps? And then the impacts across the organization. And that to me is where I think we need to work harder on, is having that content there. It's all about the impact that I'm having across different divisions, impact on operations, finance, impact on customers or the customer experience. And that I think is what we need. So this way they could, the teams themselves, when they have their internal conversations, they can now understand what is happening and why it's happening. And that I think is missing.
Yeah, agreed.
And yeah, that to me, the middle is the most important part, because that's where I see accounts losing, because you don't get that internal. We either don't have that, not winning the internal conversations to move them forward, or we don't have the right buyer enablement. Right after C19, I know Topo came out with this study and showed that buyer confidence is an all-time low, which of course it is after having your world turned over upside down. It's going to be at an all-time low, but it's buyer confidence with a twist.
Yeah.
It is not confidence in, it's not that they don't have confidence in vendors. It's the buyer's confidence in themselves to make the right decision. And that's where it's just throwing out any content because you're searching for something, because I might have intent, it's not going to help. I need something that's going to help me clarify what our vision should be. I need something that's going to help shape the strategy, help me see where my gaps are and how it needs to be filled and why it needs to be filled by you versus others. What is going on in the market, the industry, the solutions? I need something that's going to provide me more differentiation than talking about, as you said, I go from the beginning to right to product features and benefits. And it does miss that middle. It's not enabling the buyers to have the confidence to make a decision, and which means they just stop.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think another good example of that middle of the funnel kind of asset or approach is everything around like value assessors, right? Like people react well to customer videos and testimonials and stories, but they still want to know, okay, what does that mean for my business with my data, right? Like how would Gong, for example, kind of transform the way I sell and the way my people, my buyers react to it? So I'm also a big fan of like, you know, online assessors kind of things where it can be like an ROI calculator where you fill out a few forms and then we compute the math and we kind of get back to you with a PDF telling you what the projected value you will be getting is, or it can be, as I said, like something even a little more in depth, which is that assessor thing where you would, you know, grant access to your org and your data on a one-off basis And then like our platform in the back end would run some stuff. This is not something we do at Gong today, something I did in my previous gigs. And then we basically compute the AI and build models on your data and kind of tell you what the projected lift of using AI, for example, against your, I don't know, sales data or marketing data would be. Like, I think people react really well to that because it's another proof point in the buying journey. It's not just, okay, what's the category about? It's not just what's the product about? It's that thing in the middle, which is, okay, what's in it for me with my data? Do you have the right data? Will I gain some value from using this solution before I can buy it? So it's almost like a self-serve POC in a way. And I kind of like that approach a lot.
Yep. The other thing that I like doing is listening to really the conversations. You said already before about listening to sales conversations. I like to focus in on tier one accounts. And then actually listen, what is happening? Where is the value? What is that a prospect missing? Is sales hitting the reframe? And then we work together to create the content and how we need to build a consensus, whether it's on social, whether it's by email, but what insights do we need to take it further? Because that's a lot of times I see sales missing. That's where sales and marketing should be working together, is on those tier one accounts.
Yeah.
To me, it's everyone wins in a complex sale. So that's where product marketing, sales, marketing comes together to move those tier one accounts, the ones that can have the greatest revenue growth. Then yeah. You take your learnings and you apply it to campaigns and marketing and sales. They don't have to work as much together with tier twos, but those tier ones, it should almost be a handshake, which is why a lot of times I say product marketing should be driving it because they are the connectors.
Yeah, for sure. I think PMM leaders in the market have that connector personality, right? That there is a reason. I'm sure you ask 100 VPs of PMM to take one of those, you know, personality tests or whatever, and I'm sure 80 of the 100 would be labeled as a connector or a bridge or whatever. So for sure, there's a PMM is the bridge. PMM is the glue in many ways. And like back to that like tier one account kind of thing, I think where PMM comes in as well is finding new personas, right? Like if tier one, if you're selling to enterprise and like really big accounts and strategic accounts, that means you need a multi-threaded strategy. You need to approach the business from multiple angles and maybe talk to sales and talk to CS and talk to whomever, pre-sales, SDRs, enablement. And I think no one is better than PMM in helping sales really know what those personas are about and kind of tweak the messaging, tweak the pitch, tweak the deck, the demo based on the audience. So I do believe that finding new personas in a tier one account is absolutely key to either re-engage accounts that got a little disengaged or just move forward with your process. It's key to find more value drivers, to find more use cases, more personas, and have a bit of that kind of surrender. Surrounder strategy in place. If you just go with one use case, one function, one department, you know, it's going to be hard to move in a big company.
Yep, because you need to make sure that your program fits within their business vision. You need to show how you're going to have that impact across that organization, so you are a top priority across the buying committee. If you just have one or two people that see your value and that have a 10 priority, but the rest is like, this is nice to have, and it could be something we'd want to get later, but we have these 10 other lists, these 10 other items that come first because of our business vision here. This is where we want to go. But now if you fit yourself in that vision and show each person there, your role and the impact you're going to have in that business vision and the impact you're going to have on them personally, and you make it your top priority for across the board, you're going to have that greater chance of winning.
Yeah, for sure. Winning people over from different segments and markets and, I mean, departments and functions is absolutely key when you do strategic setting. Couldn't agree more.
Yep. Now, as I mentioned in the beginning, not only do you think marketers, we need to make a stronger connection with sales this year, but we also need to measure success in a tangible way.
Yep.
If you speak to most CFOs, they'll say that marketing is squishy. And a lot of it is because we're focusing on awareness, MQLs, sometimes the pipeline, if that pipeline is not leading to revenue, it is, here's our pipeline number, here's what we're expecting, but we're not seeing it at the bottom line. So to me, we need to focus more on the tangible. I need to go focus on revenue, but also, what is that stage progression? What is the time to revenue? What is the deal size? Are we able to increase the deal sizes? Are we able to go up market? Are we able to improve the win rates? So what should we really be focusing in on if we are going to target revenue? So what should we be measuring that marketing is usually not thinking about because they are top of funnel and it's pipeline. So what should we be focusing on?
Yeah, I mean, everything, I guess, is going to be my short answer, right? Like, completely agree. I think the way people view the marketing contribution or the KPIs that we touch is way too narrow. People see marketing as the lead gen machine, MQL, SAO. It's very limiting. It's frustrating. So I think it's on all of us marketers and product marketers to try to change that mentality. That good old serious decision stat from multiple years ago, I forgot exactly, but it's like 25 touch points before for the buyer in his journey before he or she buys, right? So we have to really get measured on everything across the funnel. Awareness, as I said, is a big category of KPIs for us in marketing. But and then pipe influenced by PMM campaigns and by campaigns by launches. But moving down the funnel, I think we have to get really granular, right? Like oftentimes I see marketers only earn PMMs, only measuring success by pipe and ACV. And there's so many, as I said, so many steps between those. What if you could measure the conversion rates from say stage 2 to 3 in your process? That would really help you know what assets are working and not working. And of course, then you can break that down by segment or by industries and verticals if you have a verticalized GTM, right? So I'm really big on conversion rates as a measure of success, conversion rates from one stage to another in the sales cycle. Of course, win rates, but everyone says, oh, win rates. Like win rates has to be broken down in terms of win rates to competitor, or loss rates to competitor, loss rates or win rates to status quo, right? All of that should inform your content, your PMM, your demand gen strategy. And once you've done that, kind of granular, detailed homework about conversion rates, win rates, and all the variations of it, then you can talk about revenue and ACV. But I see too often that shortcut between pipe and ACV, and I think that's a big miss. And even ACV is not enough. Like, okay, what does that mean, ACV, right? Like, is it ACV of new products you helped introduce? Is it growth? Is it the average seat price? Is it the ASP? You can talk about the deal cycles and the velocity. You can talk about NDR. Like, there's so many financials and metrics around revenue. So again, I really love trying to get as granular as possible when it comes to revenue metrics. And then kind of to wrap things up, now you talked about awareness, pipe, conversion rates, win rates, revenue. Well, you sold. So now let's talk about post-sales metrics. Same, PMM has a vocation, has the ability to influence things like product adoption and utilization, right? So measuring things like monthly active users. I don't think PMM should ever own the MAU, monthly active users numbers. This is really a PM thing, but we should influence that. We should help there with adoption campaigns, with lifecycle marketing. And after that, of course, come renewal rates, cross-sell, upsell, and so on. So I know I'm a little all over the place. Your question, Eric, was simple, like how should we measure success? But it's kind of like everything from awareness to pipe to conversion rate to win rate to revenue to product adoption. We should touch them all, own some of them, and influence others, but really report on all of them to identify the gaps and the wins.
Yep, I definitely believe we need to focus more on that in the middle. So it's not a pipeline and then miss that middle and then the revenue. It is that stage progression. It is, are we able to get the higher deal size? Are we able to go up market? And to me, we need to focus in on one or two metrics first. Impact those metrics and then you add on others. And that's where I do with my clients, really focus when we take an account-based approach, like, all right, what are we really looking for? Are we trying to get that higher deal size? Well, let's look at what the selling conversations are happening. Are we having accounts that are stuck? Are we having accounts that we're not able, that are at risk? Or accounts that, so we're having churn issues and we want to impact that. Do we want to expand within accounts? But that's where I'm focusing on what is the key KPIs in the middle or even after that initial revenue, what are the ones that we want to impact first? Mm-hmm. Then I'm going to start, as we win, we start looking at other KPIs and start broadening out across the board. But that's how we focus in on first is, what is that first initial KPI? And usually it is not, we need more awareness, or usually we need more leads. Sales already has, and many times, good accounts. They just aren't able to get that engagement to move them forward. And that's a lot of times, that's where we start, is the ones that aren't moving. That's where we a lot of times start, but sometimes it is a different across the board. Where is the greatest issue or the greatest challenge? When you start looking and measuring all those conversions you talk about, you can see where your challenges are. And that's where you start to pick the KPIs that you want to target first with account-based strategies, with product marketing and sales working together and making sure that we are driving those wins before going on to other. Because you said there's a lot of numbers there. You're not going to be able to impact and influence them all effectively at once. So that's what, to me, I think it needs to be broken down with more focus.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, I didn't mean like, we would boil the ocean and measure success across everything.
No, I know that. I just want to make sure everyone knows.
I do think PMM has the potential to impact them all, but for sure, baby steps, pick your battles, choose the three KPIs that you think would really move the needle. But I guess my thing is, like, just pipe and ACV is not granular enough. It doesn't bring you, like, why do we report on metrics? Well, of course, to know if the business is healthy, but also to like course correct, right? And like, it's a feedback mechanism. And if you just have simple metrics like pipe and ACV and there's no breakdown, it doesn't tell you anything. You can't readjust and adapt. So I think that's my thing. Like, there's an ocean of possibilities. I'm not saying boil that ocean, but I'm saying pick your top three KPIs, but make them really granular and specific so that they help you with your content strategy.
Perfect. Well, Julian, I want to thank you very much. This is the end of the podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
It's been about 40 minutes. Cool. I do want to thank you very much for coming on and sharing your information and showing how we need to make a better connection with sales and how we need to be more tangible with our KPIs. And what we're measuring versus the fluffiness. Before we sign off, I do want to give you a chance to tell our audience how they can get in touch with you to learn more about how product marketing should be evolving, as well as learn more about Gong. And then, of course, any final thoughts that you may have based on the conversation we just had today.
Yeah, thanks. First off, thanks, Eric, for having me, and thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Best way to get in touch with me is going to be extremely, extremely basic, but I think LinkedIn is the best way. So when we post on LinkedIn, you'll be able to see my name and my profile. So that would be the best way. I think I'm still super bullish and think PMM is like the most exciting function in marketing, to be honest. And so I think where we need to take PMM further together is kind of what we discussed today, right? Really making sure that at the top, we have a beautiful strategic narrative, but at the bottom, everything we do helps sales close more business. Ultimately, if marketing doesn't drive those KPIs and that revenue, then we do marketing in a vacuum. So I hope that the function will still have those big tangible KPIs in mind as we build the strategy. So that combination of strategy and impact, I think, is pretty unique and pretty exciting about PMM as a function. Those would be my kind of final thoughts, but
I think that's it. Thank you very much, Dale. For our listeners, check out stopthesalesdrop.com/podcast. You'll see Julianne's podcast there as well, so you can listen to it again. But you also see many about other VP of product marketing that we've been talking to, including the VP of product marketing at HighSpot, the VP of product marketing at Unifor, the VP of product marketing at Traction Guest. So check it out at stopthesalesdrop.com/podcasts. Again, Julian, thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks, Eric.